heard them when you were in school, at Grant, Putnam City, and Capitol Hill. You awoke to their music almost every day. And you studied to their rock and roll before you said goodnight.
I spent the evening with the radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a prelude to tonight's Coma Fan Jam, 92.5 Coma FM presents a four-hour live documentary with key players of the Oklahoma 60s and 70s rock and roll scene.
Reunite.
Set your recorders and turn up the sound because they are here.
And now I'm back to let you know I can really shake them down.
And now, your host for this historic flashback, Coma's Mr. Rock and Roll, Ronnie K.
Watch me now. Hey. Rock and roll. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. A four-hour get-together of the movers and the shakers of rock and roll. And I saw this first guest, ladies and gentlemen, about a month ago. And he was still moving, but he wasn't shaking very much. As a matter of fact, he looked pretty good, better than ever, actually. West Coast has been very good to you, Charlie Tuna.
Don't say shaking when we're on the West Coast. You know, we have this big earthquake prediction.
That's right. You like shake and bake out there a lot, don't you?
Yeah, we do.
K-Big in Los Angeles, huh?
Yeah. I've been with that station now for almost 5 years, so.
Finally, you got a job with a view.
Yeah, isn't it great?
That is great. You're doing TV voiceovers. You worked at KHJ with, probably the greatest people in the business, the real Don Steele and Robert W. Morgan. Does it get any better?
Yeah. You know what's funny was back in 1966 when I was at Coma, Bill Stewart, who was the national program director for Storrs Broadcasting, brought an air check in of KHJ and said, this is the next big thing in radio. This is what's going on the West Coast. And we're going to adopt it here at KOMA and kind of change our format a little bit and have a cappella jingles, and we're going to step up the pace a little bit. And he looked at me, and as he was listening to Robert W. Morgan, all of us in the room, he said, you're going to take this guy's place one day, Charlie. And
wow.
I looked at him, and I thought, you're kidding. And 2 years later, there I was, taking his place.
All the big guys liked you from the beginning, including Larry Lujack. Tell us that story.
Larry Lujack, it was like he's the king of Chicago radio. I don't think there will ever be anybody bigger in Chicago than Larry Lujack.
Yeah.
Larry was driving across the country on a job hunt from Seattle to Boston. He had a new job in Boston. As he told the story, his family had flown, but Larry likes to drive. So he was driving through a Wyoming snowdrift, he said, and was flipping around the dial. Obviously, you can pick up KOMA anywhere in the country. And there I was on the radio that morning. Larry heard me and really liked, I guess, what he heard. Got to Boston. They were looking for another disc jockey. He recommended me, and the rest is history. I got a job offer from Boston thanks to Larry Lujack hearing me on KOMA.
Well, now that name Tuna, Charlie Tuna, and I understand that you didn't really use that name when you first went to
Coma. No, I used my real name the first night on KOMA, which is Art Ferguson.
And you got to use that art. I mean, that would have been good, too. Yeah, a work of art.
I know. I had all sorts of plans for that, too. But Chuck Riley, who everybody will remember at KOMA, who listened in 1966, is Chuck Dan, the newsman. Chuck decided that, what happened was all the disc jockeys on KOMA had an illness going around the staff, and nobody could fill the weekend time slots. So they asked Chuck, who was a newsman, to say, take a disc jockey shift. He said, wait a minute. I'm a journalist. I'm a newsman. I don't want to diminish my integrity. And they said, then use another name. So the night before he had to do a Sunday show, Chuck was sitting there watching TV, and as the legend goes, he had about a six-pack of Coors in him that night because he was stressing out over a disc jockey show, and saw the Starkist commercial and decided to be Charlie Tuna.
Wow.
He said, I'm going to use that name. So he went on the air as Charlie Tuna, played it straight, got a great reaction from all the fans in Oklahoma City, and I got down there the next week to start my new job and went on the air with my real name, and they decided after the show, they said, Chuck had such a great reaction using Charlie Tuna. We want you to be the permanent Charlie Tuna. So I got stuck with Charlie Tuna.
And everybody was hooked after that, so to speak.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, this really is not the Fan Jam. It's just your life, Charlie Tuna. This is your life, Charlie Tuna. Flashback 1966. See if you remember this, Charlie.
Wow! Charlie Tuna on 1520 KOMA.
1966.
We had another tuna terrible for you. Some gal called in with tonight. You know what a cannibal is? What is a cannibal? A cannibal is a guy who's fed up with people.
Name it! Claim it!
I told you it was terrible. 92.5
Well, there you are. We're still on the air.
You're killing me.
Oh, my gosh. What years did you work at KHJ in Los Angeles?
Well, KHJ, I started out here in November of 67 on Thanksgiving Day, and the big promo hype was tuna for Thanksgiving. So I stayed with KHJ through 72, and then we started, which is a legendary station now in Los Angeles, K-Rock, and then went over to KKDJ, which became KISS AM and FM, and we started that one, too. So
wow.
There have been about 14 other stops during the time. I've been out here for 37 years now, but you they've know, all been great.
Charlie, people say radio is not hard work, and it is a lot of fun. Everybody that's in it, that I know loves it like crazy, and we're just still having a great time back here at Coma, which is a part of the tradition, you know, of the station.
Yeah, I really wish I could be there. People don't realize, I think, to this day, what an influence KOMA was on my life. I mean, in my high school yearbook, I think I told you when we talked out here in Los Angeles, I said, in my high school yearbook, and I dug one out last night, my senior year, there are kids who've written in my, well, here, give you an example. This is Denny Anderson, one of my classmates, who said, "Dear Art," said, "I know you're the president of the class, but I'm not sure just what you are president of." He said, "I guess you're president of the Coma Fan Club. I want to say good luck, and I think someday maybe you'll work there." And then another one said, "Someday, buddy, I hope to hear you on KOMA. This is Steve Morris." He said, "And as far as I'm concerned, Kearney High School is concerned. You're the greatest DJ alive. Good luck to a great guy."
That's right. We're talking Kearney, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Kearney, Nebraska.
We used to cruise Main Street. The reason I got hooked on KOMA, I think it was about 1959, all the kids started listening to Coma at night. It was like American Graffiti. We'd be cruising Main, and you could hear KOMA up and down Main Street in Kearney, Nebraska. It was the station, and I just fell in love with it on all the jocks I heard, and I decided that's the place I want to work, and that's eventually the place I want to be. I thought this is the ultimate radio station.
Do you remember a place called Spring Lake Amusement
Park? Oh, absolutely.
You remember some of the groups that were out there?
Well, my most vivid memory, frankly, is that of Jan and Dean, because it was the summer of 66, and we had a concert out there at Spring Lake Amusement Park, and then just a couple of days later, after Jan and Dean flew back to L.A., Jan got in that near-fatal car crash, I would call Dean every morning on my show after that and check and see how Jan's condition was, and Dean and I formed a great friendship that we still have to this day, and Dean told me the story later. He was in classes at USC taking tests and things, and I would always get him, sometimes out of a hard test, he'd say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I've got to do an interview with Oklahoma City."
Wow. Pick one, Jan and Dean. Anyway.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena. Thank you.
City. Jan and Dee, the little old lady from Pasadena. I remember it well. I love it.
You still got it, baby. You still got it. Talk about those studios down in Moore, Oklahoma, remember? Next to the graveyard.
The thing that was most vivid to me was it was like a bomb shelter in the production room. I mean, they had 6-foot concrete walls in that place. And my first house I ever owned in my life was in Moore, right there just south of the studios. I bought it from another coma jock, Bobby Davis, for $12,000.
Wow, that's a cream castle now.
I bet. Hey. You know who else grew up in Moore is the country star, Toby Keith. He remembered KLMA. He said he used to get it on his toilet. The transmitter was so powerful where he lived there.
And in churches, during sermons and everything down there. And on your dental work even, I think. Okay, now here's the thing. And by the way, I want to know some of the awards that you've received. And if I bring this up, that means you're not bragging, okay?
Okay.
So go ahead. Just tell it. Disc Jockey of the Year, what?
Disc Jockey of the Year in 1970 by the L.A. Times and Billboard Magazine. And then the proudest moment probably was getting my star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1990. It was just a treat.
I think I walked on that the last time I was out there.
I know. I kind of get down there and have to clean it sometimes because of that. So.
That's in one. I think you're right in front of one of the adult movie film places. Hey, by the way, things that people, and you've had to put up with in the radio business, and I know you probably, like the rest of us, had to do it all. Here's just some of the things I want to run by you and see if you ever had to put up with this, okay?
All right.
Did you ever have a kid call you on the phone and say, don't talk over the front of the record because I'm recording a song?
Absolutely have.
Well, is that a put down or what?
Yeah, I know.
Did you ever leave the studio to go down the hall and your record run out?
I have nightmares about that to this day. I did get locked out. We had a stairwell where the door locked behind you as you went to the bathroom, and I did get locked out momentarily, but got back in just in the nick of time.
Yeah. You know something? We really wish you were here today. You know what we'd do? We would buy you a vanilla Coke. If you were here. We swear to God, we'd buy you a vanilla Coke if you'd have just come down. And by the way, one of the reasons you couldn't come down, number one, you were making too much money in Los Angeles to leave town. And the second reason was that tomorrow is your birthday, right?
Yeah. Okay. We had a big birthday celebration on the air yesterday that I didn't know what was going to happen. And we had everybody, a lot of my friends, Dick Clark and Casey Kasem called, and David Duchovny. And who else was there? Oh, Danny Bonaducci is one of our Clear Channel stations that we work with out here. It's right down the hall, so he popped in.
You know something? Dick Clark told me something once, and I met him on several occasions. He said, Ronnie, he said, don't be a name dropper.
Yeah. You know, the biggest surprise was the Starkist Fish. They flew in the big suit for the Starkist Fish, and he was there in the studio, too.
That is wonderful. What a thrill to have had you in this market, and what a thrill to have you here today to help us document the history of this great radio market, Oklahoma City.
Okay, KLMA has always been, it's probably the most important station of my life because it formed me. It made me what I am today because it was big-time influence. I know you got Dean Johnson coming up.
Well, I got to just, funny you should mention that, because in the control room with me right now is former program director Dean Johnson. Standing next to him is one of the really fine disc jockeys, Fred Hendrickson, on this radio station. Mike Mundy, who has been in the market for 35 years and is great. Johnny Dark, one of the great disc jockeys of all time. Phil Robbins is here.
Phil is the one who got me my job. He helped get me the job there.
Yeah. Oh, did he really?
Yes, he did. He was pestering Don McGregor, who was the program director at that time, to hire this kid out of Wichita. And finally, Don, I think, just gave in to get Phil away from him.
And our program director, Kent Jones, is here also. And we want to do something really special for you, okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Charlie. Happy birthday to you.
Come back home. We need you, man. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're listening to a rewind of the music, the voices, and the DJs that made the 60s and 70s so much fun. It's the Coma Fan Jam Weekend. Once again, live from the Coma Studios, here's Ronnie K.
Thank you very much. We got Johnny Dark. Where have you been? Johnny Dark, Johnny Dark. I see, now I have his mic on. There we go. Get the mic on for that booming voice. Look at this, ladies and gentlemen. He's back. We found him. We really did.
Hey, I don't know how you found me in the hills with the old rocks, man.
I got great news for you, Mr. Dark.
Yes,
you're about to become a very rich man.
I am.
I was told by a very authoritative source that on eBay right now that a On the Grass with Johnny Dark poster is worth $20,000. I swear to you, that is true. And I can put you in, I can put you in touch with the people. When, did, you, when did you do the show with Janis Joplin?
Well, that was, what, 69?
Gosh, 69.
Yeah, shortly you, before she... her untimely death, you know.
Oh, what, did you enjoy the, your date with her, by the way?
Please don't ask me that.
Did we have fun, though? You got in a little trouble with that the phrase, on the grass, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
They were, oh, folks, in case you didn't know, we had a party last night. It was a private party. Nobody got to come but the WKY crew from the early 60s. And we are one dedicated group of people.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
love each other dearly. And I think the longer we go, the more, how, more we realize how important that all was, huh?
It was incredible. So you know, yeah. Danny even brought up that on the grass thing.
Yeah, I know he did. He always does. I got to tell you, Johnny, you know, and people don't know this, and I never admitted it before, but when you first came to WKY, Danny Williams introduced me to you, and we were in his office, and he said, I'd like for you to meet Johnny Dark. And Johnny said, go ahead and say, hi, Ronnie, how are you?
Hi, glad to know you, man. Yeah.
And, you know, he's got that big smile, he's good-looking, he's handsome, he's rich, and he's retired. And I'm saying to myself, I'm thinking, oh, God, we got competition.
Did we ever?
Did we ever? We were, you know, that's the fun thing about it, Johnny. We were really not competing with the other station.
That's
Coma,
right. Yeah.
As much as we were all competing against each other.
Well, actually, I started Kaleidoscope on Coma when that's I came right. back from San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. you did. And yeah. it was just, gosh.
And then you had the scene, and we had, you know, been
and then,
all the time.
You know, and I said, I need to go back to school, because I'm going to... And then you opened the Johnny Dark School of Broadcasting, and I was within 2 weeks of graduation, and I flunked. You flunked me out.
I paid you not to bring that up, remember?
Okay. All right, we got to talk about it. Hoptowns. I mean, yeah. it was like the mafia.
Yeah.
We all had our hoptowns. Mm-hmm. You didn't dare go in my hoptowns.
No.
I respected you as a part of the hop mafia.
You'd have had me killed if I went into Watonga.
Now, listen to this, folks. This guy's got a most incredible resume. Did you go directly to KFRC in San Francisco when you left here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
is just amazing.
Number one station in America at the time.
Yeah.
Then.
And you and Howard Clark were good friends, and you were both working out there.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That must have been an incredible get-together for you guys out there. In the As a matter of fact, they named a bridge after you out there. It was the other way around. They named you after the bridge, didn't
Johnny,
they?
Johnny Bridges.
They
yeah,
changed
yeah.
your name to Bridges.
Yeah.
That is just incredible.
Yeah,
well,
that's right.
Well, I remember you doing talk up to songs and wrong song, Give Me Good Lovin'. And I came in one day at 6 o'clock. I'd been on the air and you were pretty new there. And I thought to myself, wow, this guy is so good, got such a great voice. And you had so many fans out there. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, and you did the talk up to this song right here. So would you do it again? It's Give Me Good Lovin'.
Golly, that's been a long time.
By the way, this one ain't very long. Here we go. You ready? Go ahead. Let's move.
Well, all right. Welcome in here to the Johnny Dark Show in Coma in Oklahoma, everybody. You know, here's a song from Crazy Elephant.
From the land of Georgia to the Gulf Stream water.
You hit the post again, Johnny.
Mr. Davis. Whoa.
Really? Yeah, it doesn't make any difference as long as there's something on, man.
Yeah, that's right, baby. That's it. That's it.
Talk to the ladies, if you will, please.
You know, the worst loving I ever had was excellent. Not good loving, but excellent loving. Gimme, gimme.
Please remember, we're FCC regulated here.
Right. I'm going to request this one tonight at the Fan Jam.
You be dancing to this one, get down.
I'll do the boogaloo, man.
Make it all right. All right, give me
Wait a minute, you're checking your watch.
I went out of here.
You don't have a date or something, do you?
I'll never tell.
At the Kaleidoscope. Tell us, Wedgewood Amusement Park. Wow,
yep. Mm-hmm.
What a deal. Every kid that ever grew up in the, what was it, what year was that, late 60s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had to go to the Kaleidoscope.
Yeah.
And then you left for San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
Left it all to me, and I opened the scene.
Yeah. And you made all the money.
No, I didn't make any money. It was all in taxes and police officers.
I understand.
Because it was so rough where we did that. Now, 28th and Agnew, we literally had to take a break to pick up the wounded. I mean, that's a wildest part of you. Remember those, don't you?
Oh, I do for a fact, yeah.
Hey, but it was so much simpler back then, remember?
Yeah.
All you did was just hire a band, put the band up there, go up and say hi, give away 3 albums, get your money, get the heck out.
Exactly.
And that is why my friend today that you're on a houseboat retired down in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Well, right out of there, yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, Don Wallace, we love Don, and he always had that great advice stuff. Remember, he said, keep the money. Don't spend it all. Go bury it in a coffee can out in your backyard.
Yeah.
I can't remember where I put the coffee can. How about you?
Knowing Don, he couldn't either.
John, I'll tell you what. You have had a brilliant career in this business. What do you think? Looking back on it all, would you do it again?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I'd
do some things different probably. Sure. But
name a few of the stations you worked for. I mentioned KJR, but you didn't work at KJR. You worked at WOR in New York City.
Right. ORFM in New York.
Wow.
And FIL in Philly.
Wow.
WKNR Detroit.
You were literally a guy who could walk into a station and say, "Hi, I'm Johnny Dark." And they would say, "You're hired." I would walk into a station and say, "Hi, I'm Ronnie K," and I'll sweep the floors. And they'd say, "We'll think about it," you know?
Yeah, at this age now, Ronnie, they'd say, like Trump, "You're fired."
You're fired. Johnny, great to have you back in town. I'll see you tonight at the Fan Jam.
I'm looking forward to it,
my friend.
Listen,
right.
It's the sound of new homes. And new neighborhoods just waiting to be discovered. All with Edmond and Deer Creek Schools, and all from Turner & Son Homes. Turner & Son offer exceptional homes just made for family living. Fine craftsmanship and cabinetry throughout. Your personal interior design consultant and the custom amenities you'd expect from one of Oklahoma's finest home builders. Turner & Son are building in the most exciting new neighborhoods in Edmond and Deer Creek. Find your new home built your way with Turner & Son Homes.
Join Turner & Son Homes this Sunday for Spring Fling 2004, a preview of our newest homes in Westwind at Settlers Crossing. Sign up for a free $500 landscaping upgrade on any home purchased between now and the end of the year. Plus, register for prize drawings. Join Turner & Son Homes this Sunday, 1 to 5, in Westwind at Settlers Crossing, just north of 206th and North Penn. Or visit us on the web at turnerandsonhomes.com.
Hello and welcome to Ask the Orkin Man, the show that talks bugs.
Yeah, hello?
Bob from Chicago, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Orkin Man. Look, I got a little problem here.
Sounds like you have some work going on there.
Well, it's demolition, actually. Ants are destroying my new $10,000 wooden deck. No, there goes the handrail.
Oh, from the sound of it, I'd say you've got carpenter ants.
Oh, that explains the little hard hats and tool belts.
Yes, it would.
Please tell me they're going to leave soon.
I'd love to, Bob, but a queen carpenter ant can live 25 years.
25 years?
That's right.
No!
So when those ants are done demolishing your deck, they'll move on to the rest of the house.
Well, what can I do, Orkin Man?
There's only one thing you can do, Bob.
Well, what do you got?
Call the pros at Orkin.
Okay.
They're trained to get rid of those pesky carpenter ants.
Little tool belts and all?
Even their smelly little lunchboxes.
Thank you, Orkin guy.
You're welcome, Bob.
I love you.
Okay, well, that's all for now, folks. Just remember, if it bugs you, bug me at
1-800-ORKINMAN.
Como Weather's next, brought to you by Ferguson Pontiac Buick GMC on the Mile of Cars.
Attention truck and SUV buyers. If you're in Oklahoma, you need to shop Oklahoma's largest truck and SUV store, Ferguson, on the Mile of Cars in Norman. Right, Tom Johnson?
That's right, John. Folks, we're having our store-wide April inventory reduction sale. Last month here at Ferguson, we outsold our nearest competitor by nearly 50% and outsold all other Pontiac Buick GMC stores in Oklahoma. We beat our competition because at Ferguson, you'll find the largest selection selection and make the best deal. Remember, Ferguson is a truck store because we've got over 500 new and used Envoys, Yukons, Yukon XLs, Sierra half tons, crew cabs, plus the all-new Duramax diesels with Allison transmissions.
You're right, Tom. Ferguson is the truck store. Ferguson also has the best selection of GM certified used cars in the state. Remember, we are professional grade at Ferguson, Pontiac, Buick, GMC on the Mile of Cars in Norman. There's just not a better place to buy. Don't miss the Customer Appreciation Sale all month at Ferguson on the Mile of Cars.
It's a flashback to the 60s and 70s. The DJs, the music, the station that we all grew up with. It's the Coma Fan Jam Weekend with your host, Ronnie K.
Thank you. I'm just kind of co-hosting today because, ladies and gentlemen, we got some of the most incredible, fabulous talent in the world in this city today as a part of the Coma Fan Jam, which is tonight at the Westin downtown, 7 o'clock. Be there or be nowhere, because, I mean, this is what it's going to be tonight, and we are welcoming to the control room now for the first time on Coma since 1904. I think. No, actually, you were there from 60?
61 to 65.
Wow. Dean Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, this guy was in charge of Storrs Broadcasting in Oklahoma at that time, and he, at times, actually overruled Mr. Storrs, and they would call, Storrs would call Dean to ask what to do.
I don't think it's quite that way.
But you did have a few interesting encounters, though. I think when Coma was automated, you tell a story about how you had decided, since you had a full staff anyway and they're doing the automation, why the heck not just pull the plug and go ahead and do it live?
That's exactly what happened, and I made the decision, dropped the automation, and everybody panicked.
Yeah.
And we went live. The big guy came to town.
Bud
Armstrong. George W. Armstrong.
Big, you tremble in your boots when a guy like that.
Yeah, right? he was a bulldog, he had helped invent Top 40 radio.
And Storrs' right-hand man.
He ran the group for Storrs. Yeah.
So he came to town.
He came to town. The manager, who was Rex Miller at the time, wanted me to go to dinner with him because he was afraid that George was going to descend on this fact that we were live and not automated.
Yeah.
And had been for 2 months.
Wow.
We're sitting at dinner. George tries to surprise everybody by saying, "Just how automated are you?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Not at all. We're 100% live." And he said, "Who made that decision?" Real glaring. "Who made that decision?" And Rex, the manager, slides down under the table so he can't be seen. And I says, "I did." And he says, "Well, it's about time." That was the dumbest thing anybody ever did. He says, "I'm glad you did it." That was the end of the discussion.
And you called your wife and said, "Hon, we can pay the rent again this month."
I wasn't smart enough to realize that I wasn't there forever.
You know, we were so young anyway back then. I mean, you know, it was nothing for a guy to pick up and move on back then, was it?
There wasn't, but there's a... The people that work for Storrs, it was a different world than anything you've ever seen before or since. We were totally dedicated to Storrs Broadcasting Company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we cared about. We didn't care about any other radio station. We didn't care about where we went in the future. It was only Storrs Broadcasting at that time. Now, it did come apart later. Todd had passed away, and it began to disintegrate in the late 60s.
Put your ears on and listen to this, Dean.
1962.
You're always 1, 2, 3, just ahead. Stick with the dagger and be well fed. With happy music all the while.
Easy listening with a smile.
Keep jumping, follow suit. You're gonna have a bright new future.
John D. Loudermilk on Coma. Here's Angela Jones. John D. Loudermilk on KLMA with Angela Jones.
Yours truly, K-O-M-A. Presents the sweet sound of success.
This guy's good.
A
lot of jingles back then.
Number one on the Dean Johnson Show this week is "Big Girls Don't Cry," the Four Seasons.
Here's a climber. This record is on its way. It's gonna make a show. It's climbing up and up the charts with happy radio. Here's a climber.
Here's Andy Williams on Coma, and "Don't You Believe It."
Yours truly, K.
O-M-A.
Matthew Williams on the Dean Johnson Show. Don't you believe it?
Oh, yes, and at 3 o'clock, Brother Bill Adams and the Bill Adams Show stare by. I think you'll like what he has for you today.
Venus in Blue Jean, the story from Jimmy Clanton on Coma.
K-O-M-A, K-O-M-A.
Wow.
Oklahoma City.
My gosh.
Coma FM.
Now, Dean, is it all coming back?
Well, it is.
What
a lot of people don't realize is a lot of that what you were playing there was automated. It was put together in pieces.
Wow.
That was during the automation days.
Now, were you one of those hotline program directors that would call the jocks continuously and harass them, say, you didn't do this right? You didn't.
As a matter of fact, the opposite. It was a very free-form thing. The guys understood what we were trying to do, they believed, and they really did their shows the way they wanted to.
And sometimes that really will work to tear a disc jockey's confidence down.
Yeah, well, when I went on the air there, I'd been on the air about 3 days from a little town called Fort Dodge, Iowa. I mean, I'm a kid from Iowa picking my nose out in the weeds. And all of a sudden, I'm on KOMA.
Oh, my. That's a head trip.
And who walks in about my second day there but Todd Storrs?
Oh, that scares you.
I'm on the air having to look through the window at Todd Storrs.
Oh, my.
And I think I sounded like this.
You felt like you did anyway.
Hey, I know this isn't television, but I have a presentation for your archives.
Oh, my goodness. Listen to this. Twist to the Coma. Tacoma Radio, to Radio Coma. The Bob Keane Big Band.
That was an album that was put out. All the store stations did it.
Yeah.
And this was KOMA version.
Pictures of Chuck Dan on here.
Yeah.
He still looks like that, too. I saw a picture of him on the internet the other day. Charlie
Holiday. He went to KXOA in Sacramento from here.
And here's the man himself, Dean Johnson. And you were all twisting on the front of this album.
Allegedly. We didn't know what the twist was at the time.
Keepsake. We thank you very much for that.
That's never. The record has never been out of the jacket.
You know what? I would play it, but we don't have turntables anymore.
Well, that's never. That record has never been touched. It's never been out of the jacket.
I got rid of turntables because in 1966, when I was playing my last turntable, we all wore ties back then, and my tie got stuck in the turntable, and I almost choked to death. So no kidding. Hey, by the way, you got to tell that story of how you really took me in one time. I mean, you really did it to me because I was new in Oklahoma City.
And Ronnie did not know who did it to him
until we talked.
A couple of days ago.
I am, after all these years, finding out what prankster played a trick on me. Now, tell him this story. It's incredible.
I had a mobile telephone on my white Rambler station wagon, and there weren't many mobile phones around those days. The oil field workers used them. A friend of mine, Steve Brown, who was national program director of a group of stations, came to town, and we're cruising around listening to the radio and listening to you, Ronnie, and one thing another, and he says, let's go over to the parking lot and bug him. So we go over to the parking lot, and you're sitting in the studio looking out the window, and we dial you, and you go through this great big thing about this mobile phone. These guys are actually in my parking lot, talking from the car. It's unheard of.
I'd never heard anything like it.
And
it was so clear. It was like you were right in front of the building.
And so you says, I'm going to put them on the air. You say this on the air.
Yeah.
And you said, what do you guys got to say for yourself? And together we sang yours truly, KOMA.
You know what? I suspicioned at that time that you were out in the parking lot because for some reason I turned around and looked out the window and I saw just this streak going out of the driveway.
I saw this streak coming up out of his chair grabbing for the board to turn us off.
That is amazing. You know, Danny Williams was your counterpart at WKY and you guys competed as program directors.
Well, we actually didn't compete. Danny dominated would be better.
Yeah.
Danny was...
It was a marvelous thing.
We had no idea, I think, at KOMA in those days, how unbeatable you guys were. Do we mention the call letters over there?
You know, it's a funny thing. Danny Williams had a theory, and he always told this to us. He said, guys, ignore the competition. They do not exist. Forget about them. But it was really hard to forget about you people because when we would go out to Wedgwood or to Spring Lake, little kids would run up and say, hey, we listen to Coma. We don't listen to W. You know, and they would rub it in.
They really listened to WKY. They wouldn't have done that if they didn't. They're just pulling your chain.
And what about the most successful hires that you... and you have hired some incredible people.
Just some people that you can look back on. And,
Chuck Dan was was awesome.
This guy is richer than all of us now.
He was the guy that voiced a lot of things for us, the news and openings and so forth. He lives in Beverly Hills now in Charlie Chaplin's old house, if that tells you anything.
Yeah, well, you know what? I tell you what, since we were talking here about you and Danny, I got a special surprise. You guys, for the first time, we'll get to actually be side to side, and we'll talk radio together.
I have never met Danny Williams.
You have never met him before.
No, I have
never. I'll tell you what. Hang on. We're going to do your favorite song. Name the song here. We'll play the song. We'll get Danny in here. We'll talk, okay? Now, this is a little tune you have a story about. J. Frank Wilson.
Well, yeah, J. Frank Wilson. You may remember on KOMA, we had a jock named J. Michael Wilson.
Yeah.
And Rodney Roden.
Rodney, right, had that little character, yeah.
And J. Frank Wilson is named after J. Mike Wilson.
Uh-huh.
The manager of says, this is a record coming out. I want to use J. Frank Wilson. Do you guys object to us putting out a name similar to your jock? We said, no, go ahead. And, of course, the record became, in those days, giant.
Yeah.
But he was named after KOMA's jock.
It's a great song. You know, Pearl Jam recently re-recorded this thing, and kids were calling saying, will you play that new song after all these years? So here it is. It's back, just like you are. Thanks for coming.
Well, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world. We were out on a date in my daddy's car. We hadn't driven very far. There in the road, straight ahead, the car was stalled, the engine was dead. I couldn't stop, so I swerved to the right. Never forget the sound that night. The crying tires, the busting glass, the painful scream that I heard last. Well, where, oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world. Well, when I woke up, the rain was pouring down. There were people standing all around. Something warm running in my eyes. But I maybe somehow that night I raised her head, and then she smiled and said, hold me, darling, for a little while. I held her close, I kissed her our last kiss. I found the love that I knew I would miss. But now she's gone, even though I hold her tight. I lost my love, my life that night. Well, where, oh, where can my baby be? The Lord took her away from me. She's gone to heaven, so I got to be good, so I can see my baby when I leave this world.
All together. Oh, hey, hey, the gang's all here, ladies and gentlemen. And I can't believe it. Since Danny, actually MC Championship Wrestling, he is ready for this encounter here with his counterpart at KOMA. For the first time in history, these two great program directors together, KOMA, Top 40, Danny Williams, WKY, radio and television. And Danny, you always said, you know, WKY radio, the station that brought TV to Oklahoma.
Right.
Gosh almighty. How do you beat a guy like Danny Williams?
You don't.
Yeah? I mean,
the answer is simple. You don't.
Well, you know, I mean, the guy, and I said this at the OAB Awards the other night, you know, and I said, this guy is so incredible in everything he does. And he many people, when they communicate on radio, they talk from their head in their mouth, like most of us do, but this guy right here talks from right in here, and there is nothing between you and the radio. Everyone, this guy sits at your breakfast table with you when he's on the radio.
You're too much.
Isn't he, though?
You are too much.
Well,
I gotta say this, I don't know whether you know this or not, but this guy right here is the hardest working dude I have ever known.
I've just got 27 pages of prep today.
I don't know. But he put on a reunion.
I didn't get a script. Did you get one, Danny?
He put on a reunion last night. which he worked on like you cannot believe. Got about 2 hours sleep a night.
I baked your cake.
Yes, baked the cake and everything.
You were 101?
Yes, sir. 70s. I'll tell you what, we had John Hansen of the fire department and from Homeland Security fly in here all the way from Washington to be at your party. Yeah, is that incredible?
Yeah.
He wore his fire hat. Rolled out the candles on the birthday.
He had to have a fireman just to deal with all the fire from the candles.
I came out here for you guys to be nice to me. Now, what is this?
It would be nice to you.
My friend that helped me do the trick on you 40 years ago was in Oklahoma City a year or so ago and to visit the memorial downtown. And he stood there for quite some time, and then he got to talking with somebody who was there, and he said, "Do you know Danny Williams?" And the guy backed up and says, "Know him? Why, he's our national treasure."
You know, I'd love to meet Danny Williams. I've heard so much about him. Golly.
Him and Elvis, man, same thing. Elvis got sick of being Elvis, you know.
Do you remember
the...
He loves being Danny now that he's got that beautiful wife.
You did some flying at one time, didn't you? You did some flying, piloting an airplane.
We had a promotion.
He was the rocking bird.
Where I learned to fly, and we had it at Wiley Post, and they couldn't get all the people in to the airport. So many people came. Well, and a lot of people thought... They came out there to watch me solo. They actually came out there hoping I would crash.
Well, I think later you did the promotion where you were going to dump baskets of money out to...
We did that.
And we couldn't allow this to go unnoticed. So whenever WKY would announce that they were going to dump money out over a certain intersection, we would jump in and say... Money is going to fall from the sky to KOMA listeners.
Hey, you know something? That brings up a great idea. Craziest promotion you guys ever did. And Danny, you had, remember we did that, and I think Storrs may have done this first, but we did it here. And it was where we, that treasure hunt thing, where we hid stuff all over town.
Right.
And people trampled down flowers at the zoo and everything. It was just, I mean, it was incredible.
We hid tigers.
The worst thing we ever did to Storrs was, we heard Storrs was going to buy KOMA radio. And Storrs, as you know, is one of the real legends of this business, one of the originators of Top 40 Radio, he and McClendon. So what we did was we got every promotion that we'd ever heard that Storrs did, and we did all of them before they got here.
You didn't bury the guy with the snake, though.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did them all.
That was
we
me.
Did
they buried me.
We stole every promotion from Storrs and did them all. When y'all got here, there wasn't nothing to do.
The job that WKY did upstaging Storrs in those days was incredible. I mean, they beat Storrs at their own game, and you guys did it all right. I think that if we had realized at KOMA, if we had been smart enough at that time to realize how unbeatable you were, we would have become demoralized.
But you know, can I say something? What really I think made the difference was us getting those little skimpy shorts and doing DJ basketball.
Oh, this guy here was so funny. He'd go through the basket. I mean, God.
And then you would pull my pants down.
That's right.
And that was back when everything was G-rated. And we were only playing girls.
Mm-hmm.
And that got us in a lot of trouble.
We had a perfect record. We never won.
Remember that letter? Remember that letter that Mr. Gaylord got from Wewoka, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Remember that promotion that we did on that thing? And you had a baby crying on the opening of the spot, and somebody came on and said, and I think you wrote this spot, and said, "Who woke that kid?" And you said, "Wewoka."
I'll never be back to Wewoka soon.
Well, you know
I'll stay away from Wewoka.
Can I tell you? I remember this very well. It was a dressing room that we had, and the girls were dressing right next door, and it was a little hole in the wall. Why did everything get so quiet?
Ronnie, what are you doing to my career today?
It's already been done. Okay, you rode donkeys?
Yeah, we had donkey basketball. We almost got really hurt with donkey basketball. I don't know if you ever played donkey basketball, but when you fall off a donkey on a basketball, hard work, hardwood floor, that's not a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I'll tell you what, we've got some things here that I want to pass it along to you and just tell you that we've got some people coming up here that you will not believe. We're looking at Alan Mitchell, Bobby Mitchell, Alan Spears, peeking through the window. We've got Kevin Matheny, who went on from here and started MTV.
Yeah.
And by the way, he is one of your hires. Yeah, I think he was at KWHP first.
I don't know where he was, but he's done really well. As a matter of fact, nearly everybody that I ever hired did better than me. I don't know why that is. You're a millionaire. Don Wallace is a millionaire. Chuck Dunaway is a millionaire. Johnny Dark has been through 40 or 70 million.
talking about your ability to hire people, you could hire some people. You knew, what was it? What was your theory on that? You bring them in, talk to them, and did you think that an introverted person made a better a disc jockey or an extroverted person? Because I was very shy when I went to work for you, and you scared me to death.
You know, I really don't know why. I just, you know, most of my life, everything I've done is, just by intuition. Somehow or another, I just felt, and I always thought guys that sounded good were good. And I've always thought that friendly was better than funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to hire guys who were friendly on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, if you can't sell warmth,
mm-hmm.
you can't sell anything.
Everybody that came there in some way tried to be like you, but as I said the other night, I mean, they couldn't. There's nobody could be like you really, because it was only one you. You were just. I mean, they threw the mold away literally when they made you. But you know,
God's mistakes.
Yeah. Were you ever at all controversial at any time on the radio?
Are you kidding? Are you kidding me?
Well, I just brought it up. I don't.
Let me tell you something. The worst thing in my career was when I first, the first show I ever had on TV, I was on radio here, and when I came to radio at WKY, I was in the Skirvin Tower Hotel, and they had these palatial studios, and they had all these guys whose voice was, you know, just it'll rattle us.
Tom Paxton.
And the way they'd do the break would be WKY, AM/FM, service of the Oklahoma Publishing Company. Well, I come from San Antonio, and I'm 23 years old, and boy, I'd do it, and mm-hmm. they'd sell spots by the words.
Wow.
And there'd be about 10 seconds left of the break, so they sent me to TV, and I did an old lady show, and I'd read the Bible every day on the show. You know, I've always mm-hmm. been very spiritual, and I'd go to a club at night, you know, at that age, you know. And some old lady would come up to me and say, "Why you're here? Why are you here on television? And you're drinking it, what are you not?" I said, "What the hell are you doing here?"
Well, you know, there's a lot of room. The nice thing about you, Danny, you had so many rumors floating around it. People did or didn't believe.
And I started most of them.
I know you did. Were you married to Gaylord's daughter? Nobody's ever asked you flat out, are you married to Gaylord, or were you ever?
I will tell you this.
This is not a court of law. You're not under oath.
I'm going to tell you this much. Eddie Gaylord II calls me Uncle Dan, so.
You know, I never believed that rumor because the Gaylords are not Jewish, and I know you are. So I knew that was impossible.
I'm Jewish? Well, I wish.
Wow.
You want to show me? Sorry.
Some of those things you did do on the radio that caused a lot of talk. Some of the jokes live on today. The light sleeper joke. Remember that one?
Yeah.
People tell you that joke today. And the two hairdo joke.
If a light sleeper can sleep with the light on.
No, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear that.
Can a hard sleeper sleep with the window open?
That's the joke. But you caused a lot of talk with that stuff, and people repeated that frequently, didn't they?
As far as I'm concerned, the only thing that I learned about ratings, you know, and that's what we all live by in this business, is what gets ratings more than anything else is somebody talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like word of mouth in advertising. You know, if somebody says, "Hey, did you hear what Goofy did on the radio or something?" Then that helps you more than anything else.
You like Elvis. I know you mentioned, when I ask you what song you like, just play a favorite song here.
Hey, not only Elvis, but the lyrics to this song. This is for Ronnie K.
Right back at you, my friend. Fan Jam Weekend continues, everybody. Elvis Presley, for Danny and Maureen, the wonder of you.
When no one else can understand me, when everything I do is wrong, you give me hope and consolation.
you smile, the world is brighter. You touch my hand and I'm okay. Your kiss to me is worth a fortune.
Frankie, I took your advice. I went down to the Mile of Cars in Norman and bought a great new car. Frankie, you oughta man.
Tell me something I don't know, Jimmy.
Did you know they have over 10,000 cars and trucks to choose from?
Of course I do.
What about the fact that they are all within 1 mile of each other from Robinson to Maine? No two dealers the same.
I'm the one who told you that.
How about that all of those guys wanted my business? You know, they're all independent, not part of some big corporation somewhere.
Well, that's why I sent you over there. When guys compete, you're guaranteed the best deal.
Did you know that some of these guys have discounts up to $12,000 off MSRP and there are still incentives like 0% interest?
Actually, I did not know that.
What was that, Frankie? I didn't hear you. What did you say?
I said I did not know that. But I do know this. It sounds like it's time for me to head to the Mile of Cars in Norman.
Oh, yeah, you said it all right.
I know I said it.
If you want to clean out harmful deposits in your fuel injectors and restore lost performance, try just one bottle of Gumhout. It's that simple. Okay, that's it. I have 15 more seconds, huh? Just takes a bottle of Gumhout. There. Cleans your fuel injector. I mean, what else do you say about it? Yep. Gumhout. Good, clean driving.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Low prices. Follow me to Valor.
Honda buyers across the universe, Chad Stevens for, well, Valor Honda. It is springtime and we must move Civics and Accords. That's right, Civics. This month, get a brand new Civic for $12,753 and we have over 100 available. Accords, they're priced at $14,809 and we have over 150 available. That's why we're the number one Honda dealer in the state. Civics priced at $12,753 and Accords $14,809. Come out.
Follow me to Honda.
Coming at you one more time. I repeat, Civics $12,753, 100 available. Accords $14,809 and over 150 available. One place and only one place, your state's number one Honda dealer. That's Fowler Honda right here on the Mile of Cars in Norman. Civic model EM211-4W, Accord CM5514-PLW.
We are the authorized dealers for Pride scooters and wheelchairs at Mid-America Pond. We will give you $500 if you can beat our price on a comparable scooter. scooter. That's right, $500 if you can beat our price on a comparable scooter. That's Mid-America Pond, 4708 Southeast 29.
Reliving the heyday of Top 40 Radio with the music, the jingles, and the personalities that made it all so memorable. It's a Coma Fan Jam Weekend. Here's your host, Ronnie K.
I knew it was going to go too doggone fast because Danny Williams here and Dean Johnson is here. We're making history at this very moment, ladies and gentlemen, because they're both in the control room together. And I'm telling you, I didn't know this room is getting crowded in here with all these egos today for both the Fan Jam and
everything. Hey.
Oh, you don't have an ego, do you?
I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you the truth. You want to tell you the truth?
Yes, sir.
When I first came here, they gave me an old lady show, okay? Mm-hmm. I interviewed women and men who'd made, pioneers in Oklahoma in 89 a run. And I would break it up in the middle with kids, talking to kids. And we were the only TV station in town. Channel 9 came on the air with a cowboy who couldn't even say his name and ran me completely off the air, okay? Uh-huh. And this is a true story. I went home. I was so devastated because I was 25 years old and TV first started, you walk down the road, people jump out of the way. I mean, you're really something, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or they thought you were, and yep. I thought I was.
And they're at your house on Saturday morning.
Yeah, and when I lose this show, I go home, I'm going to commit suicide. I'm serious. And my first wife pushed a shotgun out of my hand. I blew a hole in the ceiling.
God.
And all of a sudden, I woke up and I realized that the most important people in the world are the people that listen to you. Remember, you ain't nothing, Jack.
Remember what Mike Douglas, the TV star, the syndicated TV guy, said about you when he came down here and saw Danny's Day? He said that show could be aired anywhere in the nation. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of TV this guy did. And he had that going for him in the career. And then, of course, you had me writing commercials for radio. As a matter of fact, this next commercial may have just saved my job, because my job at that point with you was hanging by a dang thread.
Your job never hung, son.
Listen to this.
Tong Tong, Honorable Chinaman Renshaw here, inviting you to WKY Frisbee Fly-In. Bring egg and squid to WKY June 25, and we make agafuyong.
Wait a minute, Mr. Shaw. That's not a fry-in, sir. It's a Frisbee fly-in, and it's across the street from WKY Studios June 25th, with the semifinals beginning at 9 a.m., and the finals to be held that same afternoon at 2 o'clock, with a category for all ages and cash prizes. First prize is $100.
Awesome. That lot of fortune cookies.
Yes, but remember, Mr. Shaw, it's a Frisbee fly-in, not a fry-in. You got it? Say it.
Fry-in.
No, fly-in.
A fly-in.
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 I'm getting hacked, Mr. Shaw.
No, not hack Shaw. Say it. Rick Shaw.
Jay.
Oh, man.
Dude, that was pretty good, man. We were pretty good, weren't we?
Jay, crickets. That's amazing.
You know, you still sound... You've always had that great, friendly voice.
Mm.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Oh, you're so kind.
Well, except when you came from Lawton. And you sounded like you'd come from Cooter, Missouri.
You know what made my voice, actually, when I came from Lawton, went up a little bit. And you know why it did? I sat in your Ford Falcon, and you had a fishing hook in the front seat. And you hooked me with a fishing hook. That was my introduction.
Oh, Lord.
And we went over to your house. Remember that? And you got on the phone to Lee Allen Smith, who was the big, big, big boss.
And a guy, a real treasure for Oklahoma City,
He has done so much. Everything important in this town, specifically, that happens has got Lee Allen Smith's name on it.
Park, Oklahoma Beautiful, you name it.
Absolutely. And he brought NBC to here and did network television with Bob Hope and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But you called Lee Allen and he said, we got a kid here that will work. And he said he wants 130, I think, a week. And he said, well, we can't do that. And he said, well, he will do it, though, for like 90. He said... Well, then snap him up. Yeah, go ahead.
That was a month, wasn't it?
Probably. No, actually, I was getting 4,000 a month, but that was calories.
Yes, that's correct.
Got it before I let you go. Both of you have been wonderful. Thank you for being in here. Johnny Carson wants this on his tombstone. I'll be right back.